afternoon, and welcome to the Boldness on 3CR 8:55 a.m. on Wednesday, the 15th of April. The Boldness is about lived experience of disability, and I am your host for tonight. My name is Raf. On the 2nd of April, it is World Autism Day, and I am delighted to say we're talking with Ben Hack about his book, Reason for Hope, A Parent's Playbook for Raising Happy and Resilient Kids, Hard-Won Wisdom from My Life on the Autism Spectrum, written by Gold Coast Special Olympics athlete mentor and Special Olympics ambassador Ben Hack. Welcome to the Boldness, Ben. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Raphael. I'm doing well. How are you?
The Boldness is delighted to actually have you on the show to talk about your book, Reason for Hope. So how did this all start? What was the reason for writing Reasons for Hope?
I've been involved in the disability space both as a person and as a staff member at Gold Coast Rec and Sport, and also with my involvement in Special Olympics. And I just have seen and get a real sense that families don't really have much of a reason for hope when it comes to raising people like me, and too often deal with a very negative situation and don't really have much guidance, like real guidance on how to tackle it, particularly coming from people that have had experience in this space. So I thought it would be a really good thing to try and write a book to try and tackle that particular issue.
Yeah, Ben, one of the things is that you've made reference, it sounds like you've spent years shifting how communities think about disability, inclusion and human potential. Why was that actually important to actually put a lot of energy into shifting on how people, communities do think about it?
Diagnosis, even today, is still too often, seems to be a terrible thing. Too often the narrative around diagnosis is still very much based on the same sort of model or ideology that's always existed, that your child is disabled, that your child is going to cause problems, that your child is going to be difficult, that you might as well prepare you for the worst. So just starting there, I think is enough of a reason to try and write a book that changes that perception. Let alone the challenges, if you want to talk about Australia, the challenges in the space like the NDIS, for a start, with the fact that, okay, sure, there are a lot of organisations, there are a lot of service providers, there are a lot of carers out there, but are they really there? How much of that is really there for a person with a disability versus an industry? There's a lot of stuff out there that can actually make a difference. That can actually help that people don't know about, things like Special Olympics, for example, that people don't really know about. And also there's a whole lot of positive things that people with disabilities have done over the years that don't get recognised. So I just think, looking at all of those sort of reasons, I just think it's important to try and help and provide some guidance and support for families around that so that they can have a more balanced perspective on what's going on. I mean, sure, there's going to be some challenges there, for sure, but it doesn't mean that it's, you know, game's over and everything's going to be bad. And you still hear that overwhelmingly from families all the time, that that's how they feel. That was the reason why I wrote it.
And what were some of the challenges that you faced?
So the challenges I faced, I mean, quite a few. When I was younger, I couldn't get diagnosed with the level of autism that I have because they didn't have high-functioning autism, so I couldn't get diagnosed with that. But in saying that, I had other challenges as well. I had speech challenges. I was a chronic stutterer. I had walking challenges, because I used to walk on my toes, so I had to change that. I had coordination difficulties as well in terms of movement and catching and using my hands and fingers and balance. The thing is, with a lot of that, my mum was able to find people to help her out. Like, she was able to find a speech therapist when it came to my speech. She was able to find an occupational therapist when it came to my coordination. But also what comes through that book is that my mum and my family were really big on helping me out. So my mum would work with the speech therapist and then would work at home trying to help me to overcome that. She built a lot of the activities that the occupational therapist was using to help my coordination at home, and we would work on that. She would pretty much every day basically try and get me to do walks and work on walking properly so I didn't end up with problems. She was really instrumental in helping me to read and write and add up because I was having problems in school. I was very lucky. Well, you know, later on when I started to play sport, my dad was really helpful with me when it came to playing sport. So probably the big message in my story, in my book is family and the importance of having family, but also the importance of having the right sort of people in your life that are there for you and are trying to help you. Through that, things can get better and there is reason for hope because of that.
Your mum found two key places for you, the Gold Coast Recreation and Sport and Special Olympics. What about those experiences?
Towards the end of high school, I did end up getting diagnosed with what we call high-functioning autism today. It was Asperger's back then. Once that happened, my mum and my family went on a journey trying to find places for me. And they ended up finding Gold Coast Recreation and Sport. We went down there, you know, had an interview, had a look at what was going on. Gold Coast Recreation and Sport, which they still operate, also had programs through Special Olympics. So I ended up starting in the cricket and soccer. And through that, I found Special Olympics as well.
Through the Special Olympics, you've met some very notable people. One of them was Nelson Mandela.
Once all that happened, I went on a journey through Special Olympics. I ended up getting lucky enough to represent my country a few times. In 2010, we had an event called the Unity Cup. What that was is that we were going to play a celebrity athlete football game before the Argentina-Germany quarterfinal at the World Cup, and that was going to be played on the actual venue beforehand. I met Nelson Mandela because there was a lot of press that was being done, a lot of work that was being done at that event, so I happened to meet him at that event.
You've met some other people such as Lida Kamamichi, the ballet gymnast, and Bart Connor. And from there is that when it comes down to having reasons for hope, that a lot of it has been that you did have a lot of encouragement and support from both your parents.
Nadia Comaneci and Bart Connor served on the Special Olympics International Board of Directors along with me. I sat on that board for 9 years, so that's how I met them. As I've said, I've had quite a lot of support and help from my family throughout my journey. And that's kind of the theme of the book, particularly looking at how things are in society today, like with the NDIS and all of that sort of stuff, that, you know, family and community and people are, in my opinion, more important than funding. I mean, funding does matter. I'm not saying it doesn't. But with all the talk around funding in this space, I think too often it's the people side that gets missing in this. And I think, you know, families at times are just as lost as we were because of all of that sort of challenge that's going on and all that circumstance where you know, having a good family and having good people around you is, you know, everything. You know, and again, I'm not saying funding doesn't matter, but I just think there's just too much of a talk around that sort of stuff today.
What are some of the strategies that you'd like to share with other people to assist them to be people in their own right, so that they have developed happy and resilient kids?
I think you've got to maybe park maybe some of the expectations you might have had about what your child would be, particularly at the beginning. I think it's got to be about your child's journey. And also, I think you've got to try and work with your child's strengths. Now, those strengths may not be completely obvious, but I'm sure that your child will have strengths and things that they happen to enjoy or are passionate about. I think it's important to work with that. I also think it's really important to focus on developing the character and who that person is, and try and helping them, you know, try to help them to be, you know, brave and honourable and kind and decent. I think also you got to teach them some resilience with what's going on, that there are going to be bad things that are going to happen and be challenges. So it's how they develop through those. And then, and I do try to make this reference, like I in my book, I keep mentioning 2 steps forward, 1 step back, 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. To make an omelette, you're going to have to break a few eggs. There's going to be up and downs. Like there's going to be some challenges. There's going to be some challenging days. You know, there's going to be some, you know, difficulties on both ends. But it's just about trying to navigate all of those sort of things. And also, again, it's as much as you can about your child. I mean, it's not always about changing the education system, starting a campaign against the rest of the world, doing all of that, because if, you know, sometimes you can do that and then lose sight of what really matters. It's a journey, and it takes time. There's no question about that. But again, like what I've seen in this space, like particularly if you focus on someone's strengths and try and focus on the positive aspects, if you try and teach them those sort of things that I talked about and provide an accepting environment, it's amazing the sort of changes and improvements people can have.
I love that little quote there, little snapshot. Is you're going to break a few eggs to make an omelette. So the analogy is that with children or with children with a disability, that they actually, sometimes they're going to actually learn from their experiences. They're going to have experiences which are not pleasant. That's actually does that mean to hold a space where the child or the person with a disability can grow up to develop, have other experiences the same as other people?
And also it's about the long-term development, and also don't try and be perfect, because that's just not possible. It's not about trying to be perfect. It's about being authentic. It's a tough challenge. I mean, your child will develop, will change, will evolve, will develop into a different person. As they go from a young child to a teenager, they're going to develop different things, and some of those are going to be different challenges, and you may not always be fully aware of those sort of things. You may not always pick up on what happens on that particular day with them, or maybe they might not pick up on what's going on in that particular day. So it's not a perfect process, but as long as you can try and drive the overall direction into a positive, then that's okay. Learning that, you know, think there are going to be challenges is an important part of growing up for anybody, let alone someone with a disability.
I've been involved with the disability movement for around 33 years, and I also identify as having Asperger's syndrome. And over that time, I've met hundreds, probably thousands of, or tens of thousands of people with a disability. And a common theme seems to be that one of the problems is the expectations, such as learning to let go when a child wants to be, or young adult wants to be in a relationship, trying to find study, work opportunities and accommodation as well. That can be very, very difficult. What were some of the ways that people with a disability and can actually do to actually make sure that they actually have those experiences go through life?
I think it's important to start with education. I guess I was lucky. My mum really helped me with my reading, writing, and arithmetic, because if I hadn't had that, I probably would have struggled even more in school, because school was very hard for me. The employment space is a tough place. A lot of the structures around employment, a lot of the structures around having a pension or anything like that aren't really designed to encourage people to have real full-time or real sort of work to the degree that it is. So again, this is why I'm saying teaching resilience is really important. I would say to people with disabilities and their families, absolutely, if you can, if you want to pursue volunteering or work, absolutely you should. And you should try and not let those barriers stop you. I mean, in saying that, there are things these days. I mean, NDIS can provide training and that sort of stuff. There's certainly training that people with disabilities can pursue. There are certainly options outside of school as well if people are struggling. I would definitely say to people, try and be resilient about those sort of things. But again, try and find what you're passionate about or what your strengths are, and maybe try and work that into something that can work. I mean, also people can do online sort of businesses or their own sort of businesses as well. If, you know, working in an environment with people is too difficult or challenging, people can do that as well. But I would absolutely encourage people to keep doing that. I know I've had interesting experiences myself dealing with, having a disability pension and doing work, and the way they try to frame the hours, and were always big on me not working a certain amount of hours. And I know with my job at Rec and Sport, thanks to the government, that once a year someone comes down to assess what I'm doing, and too often they turn up with a stopwatch because they think I'm working at McDonald's and I'm working in disability. So I have seen the challenges that go on. I have heard what it's like for people to engage with disability employment specialists who have a very narrow view. But again, just keep trying to chip away at that. Keep trying to work away at that. And just keep being persistent with it. And it can happen. I mean, I've worked at Rec and Sport for about 18 years. I also do work with Special Olympics as well. And I'm very happy with that. People can do it, there's no doubt. I see a lot of our clients at Rec and Sport that I would argue could easily do some work. Maybe with support with their carer, but they could easily do work. So, yeah, I don't see any reason why not.
One of your passions has been about sport, and that's led to one, I think that you're an ambassador for the Special Olympics, and you're working in Rec and Sport, because that seems to be a niche or a passion of yours, and you've pursued that. Many congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. And it's funny, my mum always says this, because she always says that, you know, like, she got me and my brother off the video games and encouraged us to pursue our passions. I went and did sport. Mitchell did woodworking, and now we're both working in that space. So that's another message as well, you know, like, you know, that it's important to encourage those sort of things.
were people to buy your book, Reason for Hope, whereabouts can they buy it?
Yeah, so it's on Amazon through Kindle Direct Publishing. You just need to look up Reason for Hope. You know, a guide to raising happy and resilient kids. You know, hard-won lessons from my life on the autism spectrum. So if people can put down any of those sort of words on the Kindle Direct Publishing website, the book will be available either through Kindle or paperback. And yeah, it's been launched, so it's available there for purchase.
Thank you very much for your time, Ben, for coming onto the Boldness to talk about your book, Reason for Hope. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Raphael.
The Boldness has been talking with author Ben Hack about his new book, Reason for Hope, coming up on the 29th of April. The Boldness is talking with Megan Spindler-Smith, Acting CEO, People with Disability Australia, which is the national cross-disability rights and advocacy organisation, about proposed changes to the NDIS. And if you don't think the revolution has started, you've been listening to the wrong station. This is 3CR, Voice of the People. Let's go out with a song by Susanna Poljak, Dancing on the Ceiling. Thank you for joining me tonight.